Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
So we're looking at our Newswatch unit this month, and the first one is all about tattoos. Now, I have tattoos, and they're on my legs, so they're fairly easy for people to see, especially in the summer when I'm wearing shorts. Do you have any that are hidden away somewhere?
I do.
I thought you had.
I have one kind of on my front and one on my back, and I keep them hidden. Because my parents aren't really huge fans of tattoos.
Do they know you have them?
My mom does. My dad doesn't.
I got my first one at 18, and I do remember my mom kind of wondering, like, oh my goodness, he's gone off to university and what's happening to him kind of thing.
Right.
But within a few years, she'd kind of come around to the idea, and she was, in fact, suggesting further ones.
Interesting.
And when my grandmum, her mum, got one aged 70 as a birthday present, I think we realised that tattoos were something that was okay in the family.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's the same in my family, but out of respect to my father's wishes, mostly, my mother doesn't really care. I just keep them in places where it doesn't really matter.
Fair enough.
To them.
Now, these tattoos we're going to talk about today, though, they're kind of special, and you'd probably want to have them where you can see them because they have a medical function. So let's read through both of our news stories before we start talking about the special new tattoos. Tattoos that tell your blood sugar. Life can be difficult for people suffering from diabetes. Many are forced to draw blood to check if their blood sugar levels are stable. Recently, researchers at Harvard and MIT came up with a potential solution to eliminate the need for this procedure. They've used special ink to create a biosensing tattoo. The ink monitors body fluids and changes color to reflect blood sugar levels. If glucose levels are too high, the tattoo will turn brown. If sodium levels increase, it will change to green. If there are fluctuations in pH levels, the tattoo will become purple or pink. Since the technology is in the ink, patients will be able to choose whatever design and shape of tattoo they prefer. Although the tattoos seem promising, they are not yet available to the general public. So far, they have only been tested on pigs' skin. Future research needs to be done on humans to determine if the technology will cause allergic reactions and will work without complications over time.
Forgetful service leads to a memorable experience. In most restaurants, receiving the wrong order may lead to an argument with the waiter. Yet at the restaurant of order mistakes, getting someone else's food is not a big deal. That's because at this pop-up restaurant in Tokyo, all of the waiters have dementia. Organizers started the restaurant to raise awareness about brain disease. They hope to change public perception about those who suffer from dementia. By showing patience and understanding toward its staff, the restaurant's management can help them become productive members of society. What's more, it also encourages guests to show the same compassion. Thus, guests are more likely to appreciate the meal they're brought and treat their server with kindness, even if they were expecting a different dish. In the US, a similar business has also been established. Hugs Cafe in Texas only employs workers with mental and developmental disabilities. In addition to raising customers' awareness about people with special needs, these jobs give the workers a sense of purpose in life. Both restaurants demonstrate that everyone wins when you give the less fortunate a chance to contribute to society.
Okay, so those are our two Newswatch stories, and the first one is about the tattoos that tell your blood sugar. Now, as you may have picked up from our conversation, a tattoo is a drawing or picture or set of words that is permanently inked into your skin.
That's
so
right.
So you cannot remove them except by kind of special laser-related surgery. Mm. They're there for life, although the temporary ones are around, they're out there, henna and stuff like that. But so people get tattoos to, you know, they could be for various reasons, to show a particular part of their person or character, you know, to put a record of something important on them, different things like that. Now, these tattoos, they are actually medically very important.
That's right. So we're going to talk about people who suffer from diabetes. Now, diabetes is a very serious disease, and it basically just means that there's too much sugar in your blood.
Yes.
Okay, so this disease, usually when you have it, when you test to see what the sugar levels are in your blood to see if they're too high or too low, you have to draw blood or take the blood by needle out of your skin.
Yeah, I know people with diabetes, they have a special device and they will kind of put that in and check the sugar levels, that sort of thing. You only need a tiny bit of blood.
A tiny little bit, but it still involves a pricking of maybe a finger or somewhere in your vein.
It's not the most convenient way kind of thing. You know, and the machine obviously needs batteries and stuff like that, so there are issues, The disease of the pancreas is diabetes, and it just means it's not producing insulin, an important hormone, or our cells stop responding to insulin depending on the type of diabetes it is. And it just means that you can get elevated blood sugar, which is bad in various different ways.
Right.
It sets chemical imbalances all around the body, bits of it start to fail, and it's not pleasant.
It isn't.
And people want to check their blood levels are stable. If something is stable, it's at the right level and it's not changing quickly or changing often, it's not shooting up and down. You want your levels of body, whatever chemicals are in there, to be stable. You want them to be the same. You don't want them to always be changing because this causes physical problems, mood problems, and all sorts of stuff like that.
Okay, so like we said, we have there is a new tattoo that's doing this. So let's learn more about how this and where this was developed and what it's going to do. So it's talking about some researchers at Harvard and MIT. Now, a researcher is a person who does research or kind of studies a subject more in depth to find out more information about it. And they came up with a potential solution to eliminate the need for this procedure or the drawing of blood. So when you come up with someone, you think of an idea, you think of a plan or an answer to a problem. It's basically another way of saying you think of something.
Yeah, and in this case, it's a potential solution. So if something is in potential, it's got a lot of possibility, but it hasn't quite been proven yet. So a potential solution is the same as a possible solution. It looks good, but they'll need to check it out.
Right.
By the way, MIT does stand for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
That's
so
right.
That's what they come from. And this solution will eliminate the need to draw blood. This procedure to eliminate something means to get rid of that thing permanently.
Right.
If you have cockroaches in your house, you want to eliminate them with traps or sprays or poison of some sort.
It's so hard.
It is very difficult. If you eliminate the need for something, you don't need it anymore. We've eliminated the need for even certain body parts like the appendix. We don't need that anymore.
Right.
Our bodies have eliminated the need for that organ. So we want to eliminate the need for people to have to check their blood sugar all the time.
Right. So we use the word procedure to describe the drawing of blood. And a procedure in this case is a medical treatment or a medical operation or something that you do. It's the process of something you do in terms of medical. Now, procedure can also be a way of doing something, but in this case, we're talking about a kind of surgery or maybe not even that serious.
So it's a medical test, basically. It's a clinical exam, almost, although in a very easy way, since you're just getting a bit of blood out.
Right.
So, they've got this tattoo. They've used special ink to create a biosensing tattoo. Okay, bio is related to biology and all things, therefore, to do with life, and in this case, the human body, and it's sensing our biology. So our biology is going to involve how much sugar is in our blood. It could also sense temperature. We're going to look at some other things. So anything that's biosensing senses changes in biology of something.
Okay.
You could put it on animals. You could put it even in water, and it would just sense changes to its biology. something within the body that is or isn't working.
Okay. All right. So let's find out how it senses our biology. Now it says the ink monitors body fluids and changes color to reflect blood sugar levels. Now this is interesting. Now remember the technology is inside the ink.
Mm-hmm.
So the ink is actually changing when the body changes.
Mm.
And to sense how it does that, it monitors body fluids. When you monitor something, you carefully watch or check a situation in order to see how it's changing, how it's developing, whether the situation has stopped working or is working very well, mm-hmm. or is working too quickly or too poorly. So you're basically just watching to see what's happening. And it's monitoring the body fluids. Now, body fluids are all of the liquids that originate in your body. So if you think about when you get hungry, you notice the saliva in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a body fluid. We're also talking about blood and all,
urine.
Yeah, all the juices inside
yep.
your stomach.
Different systems that carry things around.
Mm-hmm.
So we've looked at three different color changes the tattoo can do. If glucose is a very simple sugar and it's the one that's mostly found in our blood, so we basically just mean sugar here.
Mm-hmm.
If glucose levels are too high, the tattoo will turn brown.
Okay.
Fairly simple. Mm-hmm. You've got it. If it goes, oh, brown, I'm in a bit of trouble here. My glucose levels are high. I probably need an insulin shot or I need something else.
Right.
And we've got if sodium levels increase, it will change to green. Sodium is a mineral and in our body, it's mostly present in salt.
Right.
Okay. Sodium mm-hmm. is a component. Sodium chloride is the most common salt. It's what you put on your food. It's what mm-hmm. you put on your French fries. It's what's on potato chips.
Right.
It is salt. So mm-hmm. it checks your salt levels as well as sugar levels.
And that changes your tattoo to green.
Yes.
Okay. Now there's another change. It says if there are fluctuations in pH levels. Now, before we go further, let's talk about a fluctuation. It's a change in amount of something. Just means that the levels will be either rising or lowering depending on what is happening inside your body. Okay, so it's basically just a way of saying change.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are fluctuations in these pH levels, the tattoo is going to become purple or pink.
Yeah, pH mm-hmm. is to do with how much acid or the opposite, which is called a base.
Right.
Acid or base is in the body if your blood is getting too acidic. That's what happens, by the way, when you get fatigue. If you run a lot mm-hmm. and you feel that burn in your muscles, it's a kind of acid that's getting into them. So if there's a bit too much acid, it will go presumably purple.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not enough acid, if it's gone too much the other way, it will go pink. And this is all to do with the amount of negative and positive ions and the acids and bases that are flowing around. It's all chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to really know is if there's either too much of something or not enough of something, the tattoo will change color.
Right. Okay. Well, let's continue on. It says, since the technology is in the ink, patients will be able to choose whatever design and shape of tattoo they prefer.
Right.
So if they want a butterfly tattoo, mm-hmm. it's possible.
Yeah. Flower. Mm-hmm. Something. I mean, you need to notice the shape and the, I guess, the color changes, so you don't want
right.
it to be too small.
And you don't want to put it on your back because
no,
you need to see
you won't
it.
See it. You'll mm-hmm. want it somewhere nice and obvious.
Yep.
Now, the article says the tattoos seem promising. Promising is an adjective, and if something is promising, it's similar to the word potential we looked at earlier. It looks good. It seems as though it is going to provide benefits,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't necessarily seen those benefits yet. We can't prove it's going to do that all of the time without problems.
So right.
If a person is promising, you think, hey, they could be really good. Emphasis mm-hmm. on the could, because we're not quite sure yet. We need to test it out.
That's right.
And we also see that these tattoos are not yet available to the general public.
Well, let's find out why. It says so far they have only been tested on pig skin,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. Pigs are very similar to humans in that respect.
Yeah, it's
so
good for the diabetic pigs.
Right. Okay, so we're going to see next in the article that it says future research needs to be done on humans. It's only been done on pigs so far, to determine if the technology will cause allergic reactions. So an allergic reaction is when you have an allergy or when your body basically says no to something.
Yeah, it's a chemical, basically, and it triggers your body into a kind of response to it, usually to get rid of it or deal with it in some way.
Right. Your body is telling you that it's bad for you,
yeah,
and it's going to hurt you.
People are allergic to things like dust,
to
shellfish, to nuts, to different kinds of fruit and things like that. A small allergic reaction could be like itchy or sneezy, but a bad one could end in death, as happens with some shellfish
and
nuts and a few things like that. So this ink in the tattoo, they need to make sure it doesn't cause the body to start reacting to it in a bad way. And they also need to make sure it works without complications over time. Complications means some kind of, usually in this case, a medical problem. Make sure it doesn't get into the blood and affect it, doesn't poison it. But it's also just making sure it works properly. Do the colors still come 15 years after you got the tattoo?
Right.
Does the tattoo fade a bit and therefore you can't see it so well? Because it's got different ink, will the ink be able to keep these properties that allow it to change color? So, I mean, with those kind of things, given that they were going to have to test this for a good 20 years to make sure it's still okay, it could be a while before we see these on the market.
Right. I don't think that's a problem. I think all of these things will come in time.
Yes.
And I think at this point, just even getting to this level is
quite
good.
It's pretty cool, pretty cool, yeah. So that is the article on our tattoos. We've got another news story in just a moment, but first, let us take a short break. So our second news story is titled Forgetful Service Leads to a Memorable Experience.
Interesting title.
Yeah, a little bit of a play on words there with forgetful and memorable. Something that's forgetful, or rather someone that's forgetful, forgets things easily. They don't tend to remember things very well, whereas something that's memorable is something you can't forget.
Right.
So service by someone who forgot stuff, you won't forget that particular incident, is what we're saying there. So what is all this about?
Okay, well, we're going to learn about this restaurant, but before we do, we're going to start with the sentence, in most restaurants, receiving the wrong order may lead to an argument with the waiter. So lead to, this phrase here, just means that one thing will cause another thing to happen. I don't know if I necessarily agree with most restaurants or with some customers getting the wrong food might lead to an argument.
The waiters will be, oh, I'm so sorry, let me get you the right thing. I don't think anyone's going to, nope, this is what you ordered, you know, something like that.
Take this food, I gave it to you.
It's not going to make it for a successful restaurant.
Right.
But yeah, it's annoying getting the wrong food. You might have to wait. Your food might get there slightly colder or something like that.
Your friends will have eaten and you're not done yet.
However, yet, or as the article uses yet, the conjunction at the restaurant of order mistakes.
Good name.
Getting someone else's food is not a big deal. Something that's a big deal is important. So if it's not a big deal, it doesn't really matter. It's not something you're going to worry about. It's not going to bother you.
Okay, so it goes on to say that that's because at this pop-up restaurant in Tokyo, all of the waiters have dementia. Now, a pop-up is a restaurant, a bar, some sort of shop sort of thing that opens somewhere for a very short time and then closes down very shortly after. So it might be open for 2 weeks, maybe a month at the most sort of thing. But you know, if you see a pop-up, it's not going to be there for long. Go in, get their quick deals before they shut down.
Exactly.
Now, it's just a way of promoting a business.
Yeah, it's gotten quite popular in the last few years. We've even written about it in media in the last few years. Now, in this pop-up restaurant, it's in Tokyo in Japan, and all of the waiters have dementia. So dementia is a brain disease and it reduces our ability to think and remember things over time. So it's not an immediate, you wake up and you can't think or remember. It's a slow disease that gets worse and worse progressively. And it also affects our ability to move, to speak, and to control our emotions. It just kind of slowly kills off brain cells until a lot of these things are impossible. My grandmother had My dad's mother had dementia and Alzheimer's because they're both slightly different. But yeah, and it sort of went from being a bit forgetful and getting angry easily to being unable to do anything.
It is
rather sad. So in this case, it's going to be the waiters in the early stages of dementia where it's more about being forgetful and not being quite sure. And sometimes suddenly like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Not the later stages when people in that state really need a lot more personal care.
Right. Okay, so let's find out more about the organizers who started this restaurant. It says here, organizers started the restaurant to raise awareness about brain disease and dementia, and they hope to change public perception about those who suffer from dementia. Now, perception is the way you think about something, the way the opinion of what you have on something. So the public perception would be the way that the public thinks about people with dementia. Now, what this is kind of saying, it's kind of saying that the public perception of people with dementia is that they're not able to do things. They're not, they're kind of hard to...
You wouldn't want to employ that person in a job, and you have to take a great care around those people.
Right.
And, you know, those people are, you know, useless, not to put too fine a point on it.
Right.
You know, not so much at the start, but, you know, in the end, people who can't function quite as well.
Right, so we're trying to change that.
Idea, yes.
Yeah.
So the article says, by showing patience and understanding towards its staff, the restaurant's management can help them become productive members of society. Now, management has got a couple of meanings. It can mean the process of managing something. Mm-hmm. But in our article, it actually means the people who are at the top, the owner and the managers, the people who run it. So when we're talking about management as a sort of group of people, we just mean all the people in charge. So you could talk about, you know, the management in my office is saying we can't have any more time off,
or
the workers are arguing with the management over better pay, that kind of thing. It's the people rather than the business of managing.
Right. Okay. So what the management is doing is they're showing these dementia sufferers patience and understanding while they do this job. And that's going to eventually make them become productive members of society. Now, someone who's productive achieves a lot in their job. They produce a lot of
work,
outcomes.
Basically.
Work, yep. They work hard. They achieve a lot. They become successful.
Yeah, they get their job done. So a productive member of society is basically someone who contributes to it, someone who adds value, does a job, does a service, rather than kind of takes up resources and attention and time and money.
Right.
Now, what's more, it, the restaurant and the management and their idea, it also encourages guests to show the same compassion. So the management are being very compassionate towards them. It's similar to words like sympathetic and caring and understanding, showing that you get someone's situation and you feel bad for them if it's bad, and you're going to do whatever you can to improve it, to make them feel better.
Right.
And also to show them it doesn't make them like worse, it just makes them a bit different.
Right.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, it is related to the adjective compassionate. That's the adjective version. Here it is showing compassion. That's the noun. So what it means is the restaurant guests are also going to be patient and understanding. They're not going to get angry and say, hey, you bought me the wrong stuff. It's going to be no.
Right.
Like, oh, thank you very much for bringing me this stuff. Good job.
Right. And that's what we say here. It says thus, or another way of saying therefore, guests are more likely to appreciate the meal they're brought and treat their server with kindness. So when you appreciate something, you are thankful for it. You understand how good this is, and you're understanding how good it is to have these people sort of being seen in a different way and understood and receiving compassion, even if they make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's this business, the pop-up in Tokyo. And in the US, a similar business has also been established. To establish something is to set that thing up, to open it if it's a business, and kind of get all the staff there and in the food or whatever is needed to get all the resources the business needs to run, open it to the public and kind of start it off and not close down within the first week because it's not quite working. And actually, I believe there's another one possibly. I think there's a few in the Philippines that employ
workers
with dementia autism. Or autism and other problems of a similar nature.
Right. Okay, so this cafe in the U.S. is called Hugs Cafe. It's in Texas, and it only employs workers with mental and developmental disabilities. Now, the adjective developmental here is just relating to the way that something develops. And a developmental disability is the individual who has this disability lives with many difficulties. Like they might have problems learning language or moving or maybe, you know, autism. It's like having social complications in your life sort of thing.
Yeah, like Asperger's, where you you feel awkward in crowds and you're bad at interpersonal reactions, that kind of thing.
Right. Anything that make it difficult for someone to live independently and develop the skills or the things that the resources they need socially and physically.
Yeah. So a mental disability would be something that affects the mind. The developmental disability affects the way they develop. So you could gain a mental one later in life, you know, as a result of something.
Right.
Developmental just means it's never, the body or the mind has never quite developed in the normal way.
Right.
Because a disability is just ability that doesn't quite work properly. Mm-hmm. Something is not developed or it's not grown in quite the way it would normally do. And therefore, it creates a problem. It could be a physical one like a limp or a stutter. It could be a mental one like depression is counted as a disability and things like that.
Right.
Or a developmental one, so a learning difficulty.
Right. Okay. So the article goes on to say, in addition to raising customers' awareness or learning of these problems about people with special needs, these jobs give the workers a sense of purpose in life. They have something that makes them feel like they're contributing.
Yeah, like I can get up, I can go to work, and I can do my job.
Right.
You know, and it's whatever I've got, this disability, it's not holding me back and stopping me from being just like everyone else.
Right. So both of these restaurants demonstrate that everyone wins when you give the less fortunate a chance to contribute to society. Now, demonstrate is a way of saying to show or to prove something in a clear way. So it's showing that everyone wins, that everyone is getting a good thing out of these places.
Yeah, they can contribute. And we can say that contribute or contribute, both pronunciations are fine. And it just means they are doing something. They are playing a part. Like we said earlier, they are productive members of society. Mm-hmm. They are doing jobs. They're providing a service. They're earning money for their employers. They're helping other people by giving them food, drink, coffee, whatever it happens to be. They're not just sitting there and receiving. They're giving. They're doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is the end of our second article. So that brings us to the end of the whole Newswatch article for this month.
Okay.
So thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll talk to you again soon. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.